Dear ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Instone Real Estate Q1 2020 results conference call. At our customer's request, this conference will be recorded. As a reminder, all participants will be in a listen-only mode, and after the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. If any participant has difficulties hearing the conference, please press star key followed by zero on your telephone for operator assistance. May I now hand you over to Burkhard Sawatzki, who will start the meeting today. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. This is Burkhard Sawatzki. Welcome to our Q1 earnings call. I started at Instone as new head of IR and corporate development as of 1st of April, and I'm very happy to speak to you and hopefully meet you in the future. I'm here together with our CEO, Kruno Srepolja, and our CFO, Foruhar Madjlessi. They will lead you through our presentation, and as usual, this will be followed by a Q&A session. With this, I'll hand over to Kruno Srepolja.
Yeah, good morning, everyone. I'm glad you could join us to our Q1 earnings call. We all know that the world has changed over the last couple of months. All of us have to deal with new challenges we haven't known before. And we as Instone are not immune against the lockdown measures and the general macroeconomic headwinds. However, although there's still a high level of short-term uncertainty, I think it is already fair to assume that German residential as an asset class once again proves to be highly resilient also against this crisis. It even becomes increasingly visible that German resi will eventually be a relative winner of the whole situation. And we have good reason to be optimistic that Instone will be a key beneficiary of this structural positive trend. But let me first of all start our presentation with overview of the recent developments. You have seen that we have also decided to withdraw our guidance for current fiscal year 2020 due to the rise in uncertainty in light of corona crisis. Maybe to put this into some perspective. Also in the year 2020, which is expected to experience the sharpest recession in Germany for many decades, Instone will still maintain a very decent profitability and a substantial positive cash flow. Instone benefits from its high pre-sales ratio with the GDV of 2.2 billion, which is already sold. Some 90% of our portfolio has obtained a building right or is in advanced stages of the approval processes. These are important risk mitigating factors to our business. The most important risk factors from the COVID-19 pandemic on our business are the impact negative effects on construction progress and sales. The construction side, and this was maybe a positive surprise, was and is running at full capacity. With regards to sales, this is more mixed picture. Good demand to existing projects, but lower sales for new projects. But we already see the first encouraging signs that demand of the retail as well as of the institutional business has found a bottom. Our sales offices have reopened and we observed rising response from our customers. Year to date, we have sold 125 units. And also since mid of March, after the start of the shutdown measures, we have still sold 32 units, although this is, of course, below our normal run rate. Unlike during the global financial crisis, we do not observe any credit crunch situation, neither for us nor for customers. This should give additional support to this sector. At the peak of the current crisis, we have closed new credit lines with a total volume of 30 million at attractive terms. We had already pre-released some Q1 headline figures, but I would still like to spend a few words on our final quarterly results. Generally, my management team and I were very pleased with a good start into fiscal year 2020 as another confirmation of the strength of our business model. All of our key metrics showed double-digit increase. Revenues climbed by more than 18%, the adjusted operating profit increased by some 15%, and also our new sales saw an increase of more than 10% in comparison to our prior year's figure. An important metric also for the steering of our company is the gross margin, which also stayed at a high level of 29.8%. This clearly underpins the quality of our project portfolio and also the execution capabilities of the Instone platform. Outlook. Against backdrop that we might have passed a sales through, we reiterate our earnings guidance to achieve an adjusted net profit at least 90 million in 2021. Our intention to pay an initial dividend for 2020 in 2021 remains unchanged. The target payout ratio in the growth phase of our businesses is 30%. On the basis of our earnings forecast for 2021, this equates to a dividend yield of at least 4%. On the next slide, number 6, we have summarized the key topics of the corona pandemic for our business. We have already discussed the impact on construction sales. Key for us is since emergence of the crisis was the protection of the health of our employees, customers, and suppliers. From a business perspective, as we have already pointed out during our last earnings call, we as a management team have implemented the precautionary measures also for further deterioration of the macro environment. Accordingly, our acquisition activity has also been temporarily put on hold, and we still have a tight focus on cash control. Given our project portfolio of more than 5.7 billion, which covers our revenues for coming years, we are here, of course, in a very comfortable situation. However, we still have maintained access to a very decent pipeline, and we are well prepared to exploit special opportunities in the market as soon as they arrive. If we talk about opportunities, then it is clearly worth to mention that we are gaining rising evidence that we can expect some relief on the cost side, which should give further support to our margins. Due to the outlook for decreasing capacity utilization in the construction industry, our negotiation power has clearly improved. We are confident that we can close the supply contracts at more favorable terms than initially expected. We are currently in promising talks. Going to slide number 7. Although the outbreak of the pandemic came as a shock for the global economy, the first data point suggests that German residential as an asset class once again proves to be highly resilient. Also relative to other property subsectors such as office, hotels, not to speak about retail, residential has gained further attractiveness and remains the asset class of choice for private and institutional investors. Currently, prices in the market are seen as stable. The asset class still finds strong support from ultra-low rates. So far, there has been hardly any impact on mortgage rates or the availability of loans. Mortgage rates remain at sub 1% for 10 years for most private investors. Hence, affordability remains high. On slides 9 and 10, we provide an update of our current project portfolio. There are no material changes. Instone's unique position in the German development market is reflected in a diversified nationwide pipeline of more than 5.7 billion, corresponding to nearly 13,000 residential units, mostly spread across the attractive German A cities. You also know that the chart on slide 9 on the right-hand side, we currently have around 2.5 billion of GDV either under or pre-construction. And thereof, some 86% or 2.2 billion have already been sold, providing a high earnings visibility for the coming years. With the acquisition track record of the last years, we have laid the foundation for sound earnings and cash flow generation, available also for attractive dividend payments in the coming years. Although we decided to put our acquisition activity regards to binding contracts temporarily on hold for the mentioned reasons, we still work with full power in sourcing of new opportunities and have access to a substantial growth pipeline with a volume above 1 billion. On some of these projects, we have already secured option rights of in total 150 million. Currently, the supply side is clearly not a constraint to our business to further accelerate our growth path. There are plenty of growth opportunities. And if you talk about growth initiatives, the planned launch of our new affordable product is clearly a strategic key pillar. We will elaborate on this topic on our virtual Capital Markets Day, which we are going to host on the 25th of June. We'll send you an invite soon, and we hope that you have the chance to join us. With that, I would like to hand over to Foruha for the financials.
Thank you, Kruno, and good morning to all of you from my side. Let's dive right into page 12, our financial our final results are in line with our previously released preliminary figures. Let me quickly run through a few numbers here and provide some background. As Kuno has pointed out, our first quarter was essentially unaffected from COVID-19. We've only seen the impact to become more relevant over the last 10 days of the first quarter. Revenues, EBIT, and net income are up 18.4%, 14.6%, and 13% versus Q1 19, in line with our pre-COVID plan and demonstrating we were on track to achieve our 2020 targets. New customer sales contracts amounted to 69.4 million euros, up 10.5% versus Q1 19, with about half of the contributions from our top three projects, Marie in Frankfurt, Amanda in Hamburg, and Schumannshöhe in Bonn. Our recorded gross profit margin for the quarter fell just short of 30%, a very satisfactory result and driven by the quality of our project portfolio. In this context, it is worth reiterating that we do expect an inverse relationship between revenues for the year and our gross profit margin. In other words, while we have suspended our guidance for the year, you can expect the gross margin to improve slightly versus our original 26 to 27% guidance, as revenues fall short of our previous target. Over the page, I would like to highlight two numbers. One, looking at our net debt and leverage table on the left-hand side. We are introducing loan to cost as an additional leverage metric defined as net financial debt over inventories plus contract assets. As you know, our inventories are not revalued and instead recognized at cost. Hence, we believe that the 50% LTC is a very moderate number considering the substantial hidden reserves in our inventories. Second, reviewing our Q1 cash flow, you'll find 48 million euro of land plot payments. As you know, year to date, we've not made any new commitments for project acquisitions. 48 million euro payout relate to prior commitments. For the full year 2020, we expect an aggregate amount of payouts related to prior commitments of around 80 to 19 million euros. Please note that for Q1, excluding these payments, our operating cash flow would have amounted to a positive 33 million euro. I would also like to reiterate our expectation to achieve a substantial positive operating cash flow, including these land plot payments for the full year, not least based on an aggregate 180 million of contractually agreed institutional milestone payments that are not related to construction progress. Most of these payments will be due in Q4 of this year. Turning to page 14, we continue to boast substantial liquidity both on corporate as well as project level. Our corporate level liquidity amounts to more than 250 million euro based on our 180 million euro cash position and undrawn lines of 136 million euro. It's worth noting that we have successfully concluded additional financing contracts worth 30 million since the start of this year. This number includes 10 million euro each of additional revolving credit facilities, most recently agreed with Deutsche Bank and Credit Suisse. In addition to our corporate level liquidity, our unused committed project financing lines provide for incremental 237 million euro liquidity. Based on our corporate liquidity, project financing capacity, and our expectation for substantial positive operating cash flow in 2020, we do feel very well positioned to weather the corona pandemic and take advantage of potential opportunities that come our way. Turning to page 15, many analysts and investors have repeatedly requested an NAV number to be provided similar to the figures published by listed landlords. Before leading you through the calculation, I wanted to share with you a couple of thoughts. First, as opposed to landlords, we recognize all our land plots and work in progress in current assets, not fixed assets. Also, and more importantly, our inventories are recorded at cost, not at fair market value. There are substantial hidden reserves in our inventories based on completed and expected value add land development, as well as general price increases over the last few years for our mostly inner city locations. Second, we consider our inventories and contract assets much more as working capital and input factor to which our production process adds substantial additional value that is also not reflected on balance sheet. As a result of both these considerations, we need to base any meaningful NAV figure on the expected sales value or gross development value of all our projects as a starting point, not the balance sheet figure of our inventories. The prospective NAV number provided on that basis should be understood to resemble the NAV we would generate at today's prices once all our projects were completed and developed to hold. In other words, if we stop acquiring new projects and stop selling our projects and finalize development and construction of all our projects with a view to own and hold the completed properties, we would eventually have transformed into a prime location residential property landlord with an expected future NAV as calculated. Specifically, to calculate our prospective NAV, we start with the expected sales value of our projects or the gross development value. We then deduct installments already received from our customers, as well as any remaining costs required to complete development and construction of the relevant projects. Finally, we deduct our net group financial debt. In terms of the quality of the data, it is important that all figures entering the calculation are either actual numbers or estimates that are part of the accounting calculation as used to determine our fiscal year audited revenues and accrued project costs. Turning to the outlook on page 17, as you know, we have suspended our 2020 guidance given the limited visibility in the context of the COVID-19 pandemic. However, I would like to stress again that our net income and operating cash flow will nevertheless be positive for the year in a substantial amount. In that context, we also confirm our intention to pay a first-time dividend for fiscal year 2020, targeting a payout ratio of around 30%. Let me also repeat our full confidence in achieving our midterm growth plan. Specifically, we have confirmed our 2021 and 2022 revenue targets and provided a net profit target of at least 90 million euro for fiscal year 2021. Our confidence is based on 1, our current project portfolio and an expectation for stabilization and gradual normalization of the economic environment from the second half of 2020 onwards. 2, the expectation that a portion of revenues originally expected for 2020 will shift into 2021. And 3, our ability to accelerate certain projects to contribute to our 2021 revenues and profit if required. With that, I would like to open the call for questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin our question and answer session. If you have a question for our speakers, please dial 0 and 1 on your telephone keypad now to enter the queue. Once your name has been announced, you can ask a question. If you find your question is answered before it is your turn to speak, you can dial 0 and 2 to cancel your question. If you are using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selection. One moment, please, for the first question. And the first question we received is from Thomas Neuhold, Kepler Cheuvreux. Your line is now open. Please go ahead, sir.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you very much for the presentation and taking my questions. I have several ones. Firstly, on your business model going forward, I know it's still pretty early. Nobody can really assess the final impact on the crisis, on the demand involvement going forward. But you pointed out that German residential is a relatively safe product. Interest rates will stay low. Do you think that the institutional demand for your product could increase? If yes, could that potentially lead to a change in your business model? Do you think there could be a possibility to offer also more standardized product, which potentially has a lower cost going forward to institutional clients? Then I have other questions. Yeah. I think it's best to take it one by one.
Okay, sure. hi. So we increased the percentage of institutional buyers already in the last year. I think that depending on the demand, which is currently increasing from the institutional buyers, I think there's the opportunity for us to proceed with the development already seen in the last year, increasing the number of sales to institutional buyers. But it's currently too early because we have first indications. I think we will see more clearer in the next couple of weeks.
Okay, understood. And then I was just wondering, I know you want to preserve it for your Capital Markets Day, but give us an update on the affordable living product you're planning. How many projects you currently have in place? Has there been any change recently? Did you add additional projects here?
Yeah, we make very good progress in planning and preparing the sales start for the two first projects we already have bought, one in Düsseldorf and one in Duisburg. We have another project, or we have two other projects, one in Mönchengladbach, where we won the competition led by the city of Mönchengladbach. And the other is an option we have in the Rhine-Main area. You asked the question regarding institutional buyers. I think this is a product which is clearly highly attractive to institutional buyers, of course also for private clients, but there's a very strong demand. And we will push this product and also in the acquisition processes. So we have already, you can say, four projects. And we think that we will increase this number significantly this year.
Okay, understood. And the next question is also related on the potential impact of the current crisis. First, I was wondering if you can share your thoughts on how construction costs and then land prices could develop going forward. And then secondly, we've heard from other players that the financing costs for small non-listed players have gone up. Do you think that could lead to potential acquisition opportunities down the road for you?
Yeah, looking at the, I'll start with the construction costs. We expect the costs to stay on the current level. So maybe this is quite a conservative view due to the fact that capacity utilization of the construction industry will clearly suffer from the crisis. And this puts us in a good position for negotiating construction works and offers maybe some upside for the pre-sold projects like, you know, Westville or others where we haven't started the construction yet. So assumption is remain stable with upside potential for Instone. The second one, I look here into
land costs.
Sorry. let's say our assumption is, and this what we see in the market is that the land costs are staying on the current level. So we think that there will only be the one or the other deduction for those lands where the seller is getting under pressure. Yeah, our perspective is that land prices will stay stable, and this is what we hear in the market. And we also saw the one or the other transaction where the prices have been paid the same price as before Corona. Maybe financial costs for the last question.
Yeah, I mean. We have for ourselves, we're seeing a very moderate increase in project financing costs that say, you know, we've probably gone from 180 basis points of running margin to about 200 basis points. We're still seeing strong competition by banks for our projects. We don't have the full visibility for the implications for our competitors. You know, there is a possibility that opportunities might arise out of increased financing costs and stretched balance sheets of our competitors. We look at those one by one. Historically, we have seen that the returns we can generate on acquiring projects rather than companies should be higher, and that will determine our path forward. If there is an opportunity,
we'll look at it if it's attractively priced. We're not seeing any specifics at the moment.
Okay, understood. Thank you. And my last question is on the slide on page 15, the NAV. Thanks for that. That's very helpful. I'm just wondering, the expected project costs, are financing and overhead costs also included here or not?
It does include the overhead costs that are directly related to the project, and it does exclude the financing costs.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I see. Good. Thank you very much.
There are currently no further questions, so as a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press 0 and 1 on your telephone keypad now. And the next question is from Erasmus. If you could please introduce yourself shortly. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Yes. Hello, gentlemen. Yugomas speaking from Erasmus. Thank you for your presentation. I would have one question regarding to demand in these recent weeks. You told us last time that your sales dropped off by 50% in the beginning of May. Is it better than the last week? What you see currently? Is there a big difference between demands from institutional and retail? So do you see better trend? Yes, very recently in the demand, or is it too early to assess anyway?
Yeah. Thank you. As mentioned the last time, and this is, a summary of the last weeks since Corona started, the sales in total went down approximately 50% in comparison to plan. What we see here is that the demand for projects under construction has recovered recently and is now on the pre-Corona level. So projects like Marie in Frankfurt, Amanda in Hamburg, or others where we have construction activities, we are, completely on the level before Corona. In newly started projects, we see lower sales rates due to the fact that a part of potential customers currently are in a waiting mode. It's hard for us, of course, to have the sales activities without the personal contact, and this is now changing. So we see here that this is starting again to be better, but it's too early, to talk about changes. We have to wait a few weeks. Regarding the institutional buyers, we have sold one small part of a project in the Corona time, and now the big institutional buyers are coming back, and we start to talk with them about projects. But it's a bit too early to speak more in detail regarding terms, etc.
Okay, understood. Okay, very good.
Thank you.
The next question is from Thomas Rothäusler, Jefferies. Your line is now open. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, morning. Just one question on one topic. I mean, if I understand it right, then you have basically halted the marketing of new projects. Do you have any visibility when you might go back to the market with new projects, and also in respect of pricing, given the current momentum of roughly 50% lower demand? Of course, it's recovering, but what's your view on the pricing of future new projects?
So I start with the last question. We already mentioned that we are selling for the same prices in the ongoing projects under construction, but we also sell for the initial plan prices in new projects where we launched the sales process before Corona. Currently, we prepare projects where they were initially planned to be started in March and April. So here we have postponed the starts, and we are currently preparing. And we get here very, very good feedback from the people who were already interested in buying. And here we don't have any price discussion. So this is, I think, very important. Looking at the second part, and looking forward regarding prices, you know that the market in last years we faced dynamic house price inflation rates. Now our assumption is more that the prices will stay on this level for the next 12 to 18 months, which for some market players may be conservative, for some a bit optimistic, but from our perspective, I think this is a realistic case, and we see this already in the feedback of our clients. And also one important thing to add, that in the last years our sales speed was quite higher than initially planned. So this gives us an additional buffer looking forward in the sales activities of our project. Have I missed one?
No, that's great. Thank you. That's very helpful.
Thank you.
And the next question is from Philipp Kaiser, Warburg Research. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much for the presentation. Just two additional questions. One regarding the acquisition activities. Is there any possibility that the acquisition activities speed up in the second half of the year? So maybe attractive opportunities are on the market caused by insolvency from small players, for example. And the second one is regarding the platform cost. Can you give us some figures on the flexibility, for example, overhead costs? So if you might see a second lockdown, just to get a feeling of the potential. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Acquisition activity. We are working with full capacity in sourcing, we are currently, preparing the investment cases. And the only difference to before Corona is that we currently don't go into binding contracts. So when we have more visibility, we will prepare the investments for the third and fourth quarter. I'm pretty sure that if we see that the market is recovering as we see currently, and this development goes further, then we are able to replenish the portfolio in an amount which has been originally planned. So this is the way how we deal with the whole acquisition situation. And of course, we are there if we see super value add opportunities. So our teams are working on this, and we are pretty confident.
On the platform costs, we have the majority of platform costs are personnel costs. I think we have essentially three levers to control those costs. We've got new hires, where we have taken a slightly more critical view relative to our plans. We have variable compensation, and we have the ability to furlough employees, so introduce short-time work, which we are prepared for, but given that our construction sites run at full capacity, that is unlikely to happen. So I think as long as the business continues as we see it at the moment, we'll be a bit more cautious in new hires for this year. We'll see some savings on variable comp, but we won't introduce short-term work. If that changes, and in particular if our construction sites are affected, then we can introduce more significant measures that will also contribute stronger to potential savings.
Thank you very much.
Welcome.
as there are currently no further questions, once again, as a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press 0 and 1 on your telephone keypad now. And we haven't received any further questions at this point, so I hand back to the speakers for closing remarks.
Yeah, thank you for your participation. This concludes our today's earnings call. Apologies for any technical problems. If you have further questions, please do not hesitate to call us or to send us an email. Thank you and goodbye.